our first interview from UBC Arts on air, and in the future we'll have Ira here himself. But for now, here is Ira Nadell, and he is speaking to Jerry Wasserman, who's the head of UBC Theater and Film, the editor of one of the most widely, if not the most widely used, Canadian drama anthology. And heads up, if you're interested in Canadian theater history or the future for young Canadian actors.
Good afternoon. I'm Ira Nadell from the Department of English, and today we begin a new series, Arts on Air, profiling members of the Faculty of Arts, from professors to students, to gain insight into their research, teaching, and personalities. And we begin with Jerry Wasserman, who for the past number of years has been head of UBC's Department of Theater and Film. Jerry's an expert in Canadian theater and editor of possibly the most widely used anthology of Canadian drama in the country. He's also an actor, teacher, drama critic, and theatrical raconteur. Great to have you here, Jerry.
What do you mean, possibly?
Okay, definitely.
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 Hi, Ira.
Okay. I want to actually begin with the anthology and ask you, what prompted you to put together a book like that back in the early 80s? I mean, Canadian theater wasn't exactly the most exciting of genres.
Well, maybe not for you, it wasn't. I would have liked to have thought that it was an original idea. There were no anthologies of Canadian drama in the early 80s. I was teaching a course here in Canadian drama. It was getting expensive to ask my students to buy 12 separate plays, so I thought I would be cutting edge and put together a Canadian drama anthology. And in 1985, three Canadian drama anthologies were published.
That is remarkable. And yet the first only had 12 plays, and I think the most recent edition in two volumes has 24 plays?
31 plays.
31 plays.
Yeah. Well, we've come a long way, baby.
Yeah, a long way.
No, really, there was a kind of an explosion of Canadian theater in the 70s. And since then, the volume and the quality has really increased incrementally. So it's a big cultural field right now.
I understand that. Has it been difficult to select the kind of plays that you want? That you want them to be representative?
Yeah,
I presume.
Yeah, it's difficult in the sense that you never have enough room for all of the things you want to represent. You know, if you're doing anything Canadian, there has to be some regional representation. You want there to be cultural, ethnic representation. You want there to be gender representation. You want there to be genre representation. You don't want all dramas or all comedies. And you want there to be representation across the chronology, right? So I could easily put together an anthology of 100 plays.
Well, I would think so.
If my editor would let me.
Well, it's almost an endless project, isn't it? I mean, it seems to me every 5 years or 10 years you could be adding. Do you take plays out, by the way?
I do.
Why? Why? What is the criteria there?
Well, my criterion for taking a play out is that it kind of goes out of circulation. I like to think that the plays in this anthology have some literary value. They can be read as texts and studied in a university classroom, but they're also still in the rep. They're still alive as production scripts. And some plays just fall out of the rep. They stop getting produced. They date. Either be it the language or the sexual attitudes or the style or I find another play that represents, say, the theme or the author, the playwright, in a more exciting way, and so it'll bump a previous play. But yeah, I think all anthologies do that. Once you go into a second, third, or fourth edition, what you're doing is basically taking out the dead wood and kind of revitalizing it with new stuff.
So you're described this kind of trajectory of plays that you add or take away. Is this parallel to the growth of Canadian theatre? And I'm really thinking in terms of quality, not in terms of the number of productions that, you know, if we could do some sort of statistical study and say, well, in 2012 there are X number of plays and 10 years ago there were Y number of plays. Is there really a growth in quality, do you think?
I think there is. I think it's inevitable. If you've got 10 times as many plays getting produced and 10 times as many playwrights writing for the theater, you're probably going to have maybe not 10 times as many, but a lot more good plays, just statistically, the odds are. But I think Canadian playwrights have really learned their craft over the last few decades. Canadian plays have played all over the world. Robert Lepage and George Walker and Michel Tremblay and Sharon Pollock and Judith Thompson they have international reputations, and the work is good enough to play anywhere. That wasn't the case in the early years of the late 20th century Canadian professional theater. And so I think the quality is better. Also, the variety is better. Canadian theater, when I first started anthologizing it and teaching it in the 80s, was very white. It was pretty white and pretty male, and that's certainly no longer the case. It comes in every color of the rainbow now. And the second volume of my fifth edition that will come out next year is heavily skewed towards cultural diversity. There are plays from every cultural angle you can imagine in that volume, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
Sounds wonderful. But tell me, do you see this kind of future of the theater translating into the possibilities for young actors? Now, you've been so involved with the theater program for a number of years here. You yourself have acted, of course. Could you be so happy about the future for young Canadian actors starting out?
Well, acting is a tough gig at any time, in any place. Most actors live in garrets and starve. A happy few go on to fame and fortune, and probably the great middle live fairly comfortable lives, but no actor is ever going to be able to buy a house in Vancouver unless they get a lead in an American TV series. Not anymore. Who can buy a house in Vancouver? But that's another story. I understand there's a really nice townhouse for sale in Arbutus Village, but never mind that. I think the future... I'm teaching a Canadian theater history course right now, and we spent the last couple of weeks talking about a long stretch of actually a couple of hundred years where there was no future for a prospective Canadian actor unless they went to New York or London or Los Angeles. And then they might get a job, which in a touring company might take them back to Canada. Now there's a substantial theatrical infrastructure in Canada. It's possible to make a living as an actor. You probably have to, do commercials and get some TV gigs if you really want to, rise above the poverty level. Theater just doesn't pay that well, comparatively speaking. But yeah, I think the proliferation of acting schools, Vancouver Film School and Capilano, and of course the schools like Studio 58 and SFU and UBC, but that have been around for a long time, indicates that there's still a great appetite. People want to act. But B, there's also a market, because if there were no market, then I think people would see the writing on the wall, and you don't want to spend your whole life driving a cab when you want to be an actor. So yeah, there are opportunities, but it's a tough haul. You really have to be dedicated, you have to be patient, and ultimately, I think you have to be talented.
Mm-hmm. So does the program today reflect this kind of professionalization? Can you speak a little bit about that? How it sort of has infiltrated, if that's not too strong a word, into the program?
Sure. Well, in the mid-1980s, the BFA acting program was created, carved out of the BA. And the BFA in acting is essentially a conservatory program within a university context. So, yeah, students still have to do their arts requirements, they still need their language and their English, and they still have to do their electives, etc. But within that context, they're basically doing a conservatory program. It's they have to audition to get into the class. The class is a cohort, so they're with the same 15 classmates all the way through the 3 years. And there's a good deal of professionalization as part of the training. The program brings in casting directors, professional directors, professional actors as role models, and the students are being groomed for professional careers in the theater and on screen. And for the most part, it's been a very successful program in terms of, I don't know what, you know, sort of the worldwide statistics would be for what percentage of students who graduate from an acting program actually become actors. It's probably somewhere less than 50%. Our graduates, the percentage is probably more than 50%. So, relatively speaking, I think we've had a really good... We've had a really good run in the sense of placing our students in professionally successful situations.
Well, now every profession has to modernize, has to be current, keeping up with the times. And I know that you yourself have set up VancouverPlays.com.
Yes.
Could you speak a little bit about that? And it's... from my point of view, thriving. But from your point of view, it might be just a lot of work.
Well, this is our 100th month.
You look so young.
Yes. You know, necessity is the mother of invention. Back in the day when you and I used to appear on CBC Radio as the book critic and the theater critic, respectively, those were the golden days. And then, you know, we both got booted off of CBC, and I really liked being a theater critic. I liked getting my free theater tickets and, you know, having my name in lights. So I thought, okay, well, if they're not going to give me a job, I'll create my own job. And I, you know, this was this was 10 years ago or 8 years ago. How long ago was it? What's 100 months divided by 12? 8.5 years ago. And I was just sort of learning how to use the internet. And everything was kind of going online. And I thought, okay, I'm going to kind of get with the times here. So I did my research. I researched a lot of theater and culture websites. And I found a fantastic web designer who we worked together and created this template. And I just started reviewing, and I publicized myself, and I went knocking on doors of theater companies, seeing if I could get people to buy ads on my website so it would pay for itself. And it turned out to be a great. My timing was very good, I think. It was a sort of a flush time economically. And I had a little bit of a name in the city, so it's worked out really well. This is the 9th year, and it's... it's thriving, but it is an awful lot of work. I do it all myself. At one point, I thought about farming out some of the work, you know, hiring reviewers, but I realized that, A, it was going to just cost me too much money to do that, and B, I didn't really trust anybody else's taste anyway. I disagreed with all the reviews that I had people write for my website. What good is that?
What good is that? Well, it's a fantastic site, and I hope that many, many people start, or more people start looking at it and learning from it, because I think it's terrific, and it's very insightful and concise.
Yes.
So that's very, very
easy
important.
Easy to navigate to.
Yes, it is. So finally, let me ask you this. What have you learned from your career as a theater critic for CBC, now the province newspaper, and of course, maintaining your own website, VancouverPlays.com?
Well, I've learned one thing. If you're an actor, be really nice to the critics. Because if you are, they'll remember it. And if you're not, they'll remember it.
That sounds like a very smart lesson for many of us to learn, indeed. Thanks so much, Jerry, and I hope listeners stay tuned for future Arts on Air, the opportunity to tap into the work and the lives of faculty and students in arts at UBC. Thanks again.
Thank you, Eric. Here's one thing that I would love to do.
Yeah, sure.
And that was Ira Nadell producing his first episode of UBC Arts on Air, which we are hoping to air every other week, alternating with Arts Extra. And the arts is becoming a real department here at CITR, and I'm very happy to be helping people from UBC and the community talk about arts on air. It's all about me, you guys.